If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We come back to our study of Galatians. We've been out of it for a couple of weeks. The first two chapters of Galatians, by the way, the companion volume to Galatians is the book of Hebrews that we preached on for many years. Galatians is the companion volume, the other bookend. In Hebrews we saw there were Jewish Christians. I can't even know if I can use that term, because when you become a new creature, the outside doesn't matter, we're going to find out. But they wanted to run back to the old covenant to avoid persecution. Paul wrote Hebrews. He was warning them, you can't go back. If you go back to the old system, you blaspheme the blood of Jesus Christ. In Galatians, he's got a bunch of Gentiles now who want to go back to become good Jews under the old covenant. And Paul is absolutely, completely mystified that they would do this. Who bewitched you? Very strong language. If you mess with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace that is provided through Him, Paul implies, as we saw 2 weeks ago, that anybody that messes with the grace of God through Jesus is most likely under self-delusion and demonic force. Now, I want to tell everybody, my goal is to preach the Word as best I can. And that means a lot of you are conditioned by what is called systematic theology. That means you've listened to preachers, and I'm in the business. And you teach a student systematic theology. That means somebody's written a book about what they think the Bible says in a systematic way. And what happens is systematic theology often silences God's Word. If it doesn't fit your system, then you change the word instead of saying, my system has to change. Therefore, what you're going to hear this morning and in Galatians may upset you, because preachers aren't preaching what the Word says. They preach their system. You've heard of Reformed theology. Well, I'm deformed in my theology. You've heard of Arminian theology. You've heard of all of this. I had a grandfather, when I took him to a passage of Scripture, he told me, we don't teach that. I said, it's in the Bible. He says, we don't care, it doesn't fit our theology. So I was an upset to him. So we're going to look at some things. What does the Bible say? Not what do your study Bibles say? The Bible sheds a lot of light on study Bibles. How many of you have a study Bible this morning? Let me tell you about study Bibles, because Pastor Dave is radical. I'm going to make everybody mad, so you might as well get used to me. Study Bibles are a psychological operation designed to control what you think. There are people that think the study Bible, the notes should be in red, and the text of Scripture should be in black. I don't do that. As a matter of fact, study Bibles have done more damage to the Word of God than you can imagine, because you think the notes have power. Who in the wide world is arrogant enough to put their notes, like Scofield or anybody else, their notes on the same page with Scripture? That is arrogant. Because people look at the note and say, well, that must what that verse means. be surprised at how the Bible sheds a lot of light on bad systematic theology. This is why I get myself in trouble. We've learned in Galatians chapters 1 and 2, there is one doctrine in our church that we must never mess with, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ by God's grace alone. And Paul says, if you mess with that doctrine, let the person that messes with it be what?
Anathema.
Damned. One of the few opportunities where a pastor can swear in the pulpit and get away with it. Let him be damned. That's strong language. So we must not, in our doctrinal statement, mess with the fact that you are saved by God's grace alone. And you can't contribute anything except to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do not mess with grace. Now, what Paul will do in chapters 3 through 6, now that we're in it, is he's going to unpack the implications of his gospel of God's salvation through grace in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He's going to unpack it now. And he's going to startle you. Because there's a lot of bad theology in evangelical churches. Because most evangelical churches go by systematic theology and they silence what the Word says. How many of you have ever watched Montel Williams or Maury Povich? Let's have confession here. How many of you have ever seen where they have a woman sits in the middle? And there are two guys on either side. One of them is the biological father of the child that's sitting next to the mother. If the child is born, she may still be before the baby is born. You've seen that. Come on now, y'all sneak. And Maury or Montel will be holding an envelope. And in that envelope is some information. By the way, you can get this information. $99 can get you your DNA history of where they will map it for you of where you came from. They'll even be able to tell you now what you're going to die of for $99. Maury will have the envelope. Montel will have the envelope. And they'll say, the father of that child is. Open the envelope and there will be it. 99.99%, the guy sitting over there and the other guy gets up, they have the cameras follow him out, as who am I glad I'm not the father, and it just shows the whole world how America lives today. Well, what's the point? The point is that how do you know who the child's father is? DNA. That's why I could never be an evolutionist. What you don't understand maybe is DNA is programming. It is the most intricate programming biologically that you could ever have. It is not random. It is highly specified so that any little monkeying with it produces a organism that can't survive. If you mess with the DNA, which man is now messing with it, and they're making all sorts of hybrids now of everything in these secret labs. We don't do it in America. We take it to labs offshore. And we mess with it. And it's programming that the Creator made. What's your point, Dave? The point is, that's the big point of what Paul is going to start talking about, is this. How do you know a true child of God? Well, under the old covenant, there had to be genealogical records. How many have ever gone to Matthew? Go to Matthew. I want to show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. What do you see there? the genealogies. Well, where do you think they got all that information from? God's people in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, had to keep precise records of who their father and mother were. Why? Because of the Old Covenant, you had to be physically related to Abraham and Sarah. Now, why do you think Matthew and Luke would put in such intricate genealogical records about Jesus? Because they were proving that Jesus was who he said he was based on the Old Covenant promises of the coming Messiah. This had temple records. They pulled out the temple records that they kept over the centuries, proving that they all went back to the founding mother and father, who were whom? Well, to the Old Covenant. Abraham and Sarah. You had to have your genealogical record. You say, what does this have to do with Galatians, you crazy preacher? You'll see. You had to have your genealogical record. You had to pull the scroll. And they kept intricate. These scribes were good. Intricate records of whose daddy was who, whose mom, who's this. They kept it, and they did it beyond what you could imagine, even without computers. Why was it important? Because under the Old Covenant, physical lineage mattered. For you to be a part of the covenant people in the Old Testament... Now get that. The Old Testament is the Old Covenant. For you to be a part of the Old Covenant, you had to have the genealogical records. Why? Because Jesus was coming, they had to prove that he was, as the Bible predicted he was, from the seed of from Adam, through Abraham, through David, through the lines, right down to Jesus. Now, I want you to know what they would do with genealogical records that didn't exist. My Bible study on Wednesday night will know this. But I want you to go, and I want to show you something. Turn to Ezra 2:6. Ezra 2:6, 2:62, excuse me. Ezra 2:62. Here's the story. All of you who are in our class in Ezra Nehemiah know that when the Old Covenant people got back to the land, and by the way, the 10 northern tribes completely disappeared. They were idolatrous, got absorbed, gone. So when they got back to the land, the southern kingdom got back to the land, they began to reorganize Israel. And in order to do it, under the Old Covenant, you had to have the DNA. And what proved your DNA was the records that they kept. They took them to Babylon when they were captured, and they brought them back. And there were some people in Israel who came up to Ezra and said, "We're priests. We want to serve. We're Levites. We want to serve in the temple." I guess they wanted to get back to being in ministry. Look what happens. And it says in verse 59 of Ezra chapter 2, Now, all of these sons who are related and their descendants, and of the sons of the priests, the sons of Habiah, the son of Halkaz, the son Johnson and Smith, we'll call them. And they took a wife from the daughters of Barzillai and Gilead, and he was called by their name. These searched among the ancestral records, verse 62, but they could not be located. So these people, if you'll trust me, never trust a preacher, but trust me on this. What this is saying is these people wanted to serve as priests again. So what they did was, you want to serve as a priest? That's interesting. Let's look at the records. And when they searched the records, guess what was missing? They could not be located. Oh, you say you're a Levite. We got no records of you. So guess what happens in those times? You can't prove by your records who your lineage is, who your DNA is, if you're really related to Abraham through Levi. Guess what? They were excluded. You see, under the old covenant, you had to have the DNA. And guess what? They sent them packing. Now let's go to Nehemiah. Because the very same thing happens in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 7:64. That's why you should be students of the Old Testament. Nehemiah 7:64. I apologize to my Bible study on Wednesday nights. They all know this. But they know why I do what I do. What does the Bible say? So in Nehemiah 7:64, they searched among the ancestral records, but it could not be located. These people wanted to serve somehow in Israel. But guess what? You do not have the proof of your what? DNA. So guess what they did? They were considered what? Now in 70 AD, something happened because Jesus inaugurated the what? The new covenant. The old covenant's gone where you have to get your ancestral records out. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. And in 70 AD, something happened that absolutely changed the whole thing. In 70 AD, the Romans marched in. Titus came in for his father. And what happened was this. The Jews rebelled in 66 to 70 AD. And when the Romans finally took it, they were hopping mad. And Titus gave the rule, don't destroy anything, but kill everybody, but leave the building standing. And it says in the history records that a couple of Roman soldiers had heard about the Jewish temple and that no Gentile had ever been allowed to be in there. How do you like that? Under the old covenant, guess who couldn't get in the temple? Non-Jews. You don't have the temple. Guess what would happen if you as a Gentile in Israel tried to get into the temple that was standing there? By the way, ladies, guess what would happen to you if you tried to get too close to the temple? Even if you were Jewish and could prove it by your DNA. Well, what happened was the Roman soldiers had heard this story. They said, they hear that it was all covered with gold in there, beautiful, everything. It was true. Herod did a wonderful job of reconstructing the temple. The irony of it is, it took him till 66. To complete the finishing of the temple, and in 7 years, it was all destroyed. And the soldiers walked in to the temple, and they looked around, and they heard there's gold in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies, gold candlesticks, gold this, and so. Roman soldiers, when they're in a hurry, weren't too careful. And as they walked into the holy place, you know, you got swords and cuirasses and shields and everything. One moved too quickly. Down went the menorah. All the olive oil spilled, caught on fire, and every last bit of the gold and silver and the beautiful tapestry all caught on fire. The gold and the silver melted and got in between the cracks. You know how you pay Roman soldiers in that day? By the way, they pay my son-in-law nothing. How do you precious military people even have a life with what they pay these precious kids? The gold melted. Got down in the cracks. What did Jesus say would happen? Not one stone would be left. And what happened was the whole temple caught on fire and the soldiers began to take ropes and take down every last thing. And all the building was completely flattened by soldiers because they were paid by the booty of the destruction of whomever they killed. And guess what burned with the temple? The records. They're gone. The reason why they're gone is the old covenant, you needed to prove your genealogy. Why? Because Jesus was coming. He had to prove he was the Messiah from the tribe of Judah, just as predicted. And once Jesus came, he said last week at communion for Easter, what did Jesus say? This is now the new covenant in my blood, and all the old records were abrogated. Do you know today, there's no one in Israel that could claim to be a Messiah and do it biblically? There's no one in Israel that could claim to be anything. Not a priest or related to Abraham and Sarah. Why? The records are gone. It's all gone. Why did Jesus do that? Because Paul is going to introduce the new DNA under the new covenant. And this is what makes the new covenant so radically different, and why every preacher that you've listened to, if they don't pay attention to the Bible, may have misinformed you. Who are the true children of Abraham? In the old covenant, you had to have the records, the DNA. Let's see what Paul says in the new covenant. This is going to radically differ from some of the things that you are taught by preachers that allow seminary to brainwash them. Paul says this, who bewitched you? Verse 3:1. This one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? The works of the law would be known as the old covenant. You didn't get the Holy Spirit and the new birth through the old covenant. We looked last week. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. Can you remember where we looked? Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36, where all of that language of being born again, washed and scrubbed, is a part of the new covenant. The new covenant radically changed everything. And you don't understand the full implications unless you're paying attention to the Word. Are you so foolish, you stupid Galatians? Foolish. By the way, when's the last time a preacher could get away with that? Most of the preachers I know are the fools, in my opinion. Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you do it by the old covenant, the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith in the new covenant? You are not under the old covenant. Therefore, I don't give a rip what happened to the genealogical records. Only Jesus has the proof of being Messiah. It's recorded in the New Testament. Guess where the unbelievers attack the most? They hate those genealogies. But in the second century, there was a man named Bar Kokhba. Said, I'm the Messiah. And everybody in Israel followed him. He had no DNA, no temple records. It was all destroyed. He wasn't from the tribe of Judah. He was a fraud. But they followed him and were destroyed for following him. Now watch this. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So what is the great characteristic DNA of Abraham, of everything said in the Bible about Abraham? What is his one word that would characterize him as a man? Faith. Abraham believed God. Now, you have to understand this. I'm going to shock you. Somebody read for me Joshua 24, 2 and 3. I want to shock you. Abraham was not Jewish. Who's got it? Ron, read it. Judges 24, 2 and 3. Joshua, sorry. Are you getting seasick? Joshua 24, 2 and 3. What does Joshua, Moses, second in command, now the leader, tell about his great-great-grandfather? What was Abraham? An idolater. That's what he was. What made him different was that when God appeared to him, what was the DNA of Abraham? Faith. Now look what it says next in verse 7. This is what the Bible says, not what the Scofield Bible or the Reformed Bible or Deformed Bible as I am. It says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Wait a second. Pastor Dave, what does that mean? That means this. If you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, ain't no genealogy going to get you saved. You can have, even if they found the records, the New Testament says that only those who have the DNA of Abraham, and the DNA of Abraham is what? Are the true children of Abraham. Now, this unpacks. And by the way, before you get mad at Pastor Dave, I want you to put your finger there. And I want you to go to John chapter 8. What are you going to do, Pastor Dave? There you were 4 years in John chapter 8. Now you're going to repeat it. Now we've got to note what Jesus taught. I don't care what Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and John Hagee teach about blood moons. That's a bunch of nonsense. Hagee likes to sell books. He's a nut. I want you to note in verse 31 of John chapter 8, Jesus, therefore, who's Jesus, by the way? The Messiah. He's got the DNA of the old covenant. Was saying to the who believed in him, to the whom? Jews, it says in the Bible. Judeos, to the Judeans, literally. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He said this to the who believed in him? How did they know they were Jews? They could go to the temple and do what? Pull the records. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he says to the Jews who believed in him, if you obey me, then you're truly the children of God. Look what happens next. They answered and said, we are Abraham's offspring and never been enslaved to anybody. How dare you, Jesus, say that we are enslaved and the truth will set us free? Why? We're the chosen. Not under the new covenant. How dare you say we shall become free? Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free again. You must be what? Born again. I know that you are Abraham's offspring. Well, you could pull the genealogical records, Jesus said. Yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. Wait a second, the Jews that believed in him, yet they're seeking to kill Jesus. What's wrong? Well, that's another way the Bible's saying that a lot of people, you know, I'm ashamed to be a preacher because a lot of preachers say they follow Jesus and they contradict everything about Jesus. A lot of Christians say they follow and they're horrible. The proof is in the DNA. They answered and said to him in verse 39, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, now catch this, please, it's what the New Testament teaches, not what some study Bible teaches. If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. All right, now you know. What are the deeds of Abraham? What is the DNA of Abraham? Under the New Covenant, who you're physically related to matters not one twit bit. Remember Montel Williams, Maury Povich. They have the envelope. Jesus said, if you're really children of Abraham, then you're going to display what Abraham always displayed. You're going to have his DNA. And what is the DNA of Abraham? Faith. They were seeking to kill him. What does that say? They had no faith. So therefore, they were not the true new covenant offspring of Abraham. Now watch how this goes. This gets worse. This is one invitation at a church where people come forward and it ain't no Billy Graham crusade thing. They get all mad at Jesus. But as it is, you are seeking, verse 40, to kill me. A man who told you the truth. This Abraham did not do. Abraham wouldn't have killed Jesus. He would have said, "My Lord," because he was a true child of God. He had faith in what God had done. Now look at verse 41. Boy, I like Jesus as a preacher. He doesn't mess around. Here's what he says to those who believed in him that said they were Jews physically. "You are doing the deeds of your father." Yes, that's right, Jesus. Our father is Abraham. I can go to the records of... Oh, Jesus says, look at this. Jesus said to them, "Or you are doing the deeds of your father." Verse 41. They're getting so mad at Jesus in verse 41 that they say, "We be not born of fornication." Do you know what that means there? They knew the stories about Jesus. They were sure that Joseph was not his dad, but Mary was his mother. You know what the Talmud says about Jesus? I'm a student of the Talmud. I read it. I have it. I study it. That Jesus was, Mary was a loose woman who had sex with a Roman soldier, and Jesus was born. He was a bastard. And that's some of the nicer things that they say about him. Not the oral, that's the oral law. The tradition of the elders that Jesus hated. They called him a bastard here. Yet they said they believed in him. How is that? Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would what?" Therefore, if you don't love Jesus, guess who is not your father? Now, that's another thing that'll get a preacher in trouble. If you don't love Jesus, Jesus said, "If you don't love me, you're not my child. You're not a son of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham." Because what would Abraham do? He exercised what? Trust. "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Wait, they said they believed in him, yet they really didn't. There's a lot of people who say and do not do. Look at verse 44. "You are of your father, the..." Imagine what he's doing. This is why I like Jesus as a preacher. I don't want to emulate any preacher except what Jesus did. Boy, he knew how to nudge. "Oh, you say you believe in me. Well, if you obey my words..." "What do you mean?" And then they end up calling him a bastard child. "We're Abraham's children." He says, "If you were Abraham's children, you'd have faith like he did. You don't believe in me, really." And then he says something that's true. Today, under the new covenant, there are only two families. In the new covenant under Jesus, there are only two families. Those who are of faith of Abraham, who are the real children of Abraham, who trust God and Jesus is Messiah, and then there's only one other family. Sorry, there's only two families. The other one is children of the devil. That's why Joel Osteen and all of these people will never, ever preach this, because they'll have gaps like I do in my church. What Jesus is saying is, you can tell me and pull all the genealogies you want. If you have not believed in me, you are not, under the new covenant, what it takes to be a child of Abraham. Because Abraham had faith, and you don't. And guess what? The true children of Abraham, when you pull out the envelope under the new covenant, you don't have to worry about your DNA. There's only one question you need to ask. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you are what the Bible would call a real, genuine child of Abraham. You didn't know it But I got news for you. As we go through this, somebody read for me Philippians 3:2. Cheryl, is your Bible open, Cheryl?
No,
you get that Bible open. I can only do that to Cheryl because she'll forgive me. Philippians 3:2. Philippians 3:2?
No,
thanks. Phew! I know I'm crazy, but I thought, man, I've really gotten things mixed up. Keep going.
For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh.
What does that tell you? I got news for you. Those precious Jewish people that suffered through the centuries, I feel sorry for that suffering, but I got news for you. The true children of God, seed of Abraham, are those who follow Jesus and only those who follow Jesus. We, the church, are the true circumcision. Then there's a false circumcision. Who are the false circumcision? Huh? Anybody that doesn't believe Jesus is Messiah, that's what by the way, that's why Paul got himself beat up at every synagogue there was. They stoned him. They tried to kill him. When you preach that, I got wonderful news for you. The new covenant, everybody by faith is a seed of Abraham. Kill him. He's a heretic. We who follow Jesus are the true circumcision, who glory not in the flesh, the outward. And we got more to come, going to make a lot of people mad, not in the outward. So if Abraham is your real daddy under the new covenant, what's your DNA? And that's it. So I wish you, in Hebrew, l'chaim, to all my Jewish friends who are the true children of Abraham, to life by faith in Jesus as Messiah. That's what the Bible says. We're going to build on this and build on this, and Paul will show this is exactly what the Bible teaches. And it radically transforms what some preachers preach.